All right. Good morning, everybody. Senate Business and Labor will now begin. Secretary, could you please take roll?
Senator Curdy.
Here.
President Ellsworth.
Excused.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Excused.
Senator Fox.
Here.
Senator Gillespie.
Here.
Senator Noland.
Here.
Senator Pope.
Excused.
Senator Sales.
Here.
Senator Vermeer.
Here.
Chairman Small.
Here. All righty, thank you. So if you're here to speak as a proponent or opponent, please sign up in the hallway. And please turn off your cell phones. We don't want to hear them. With that being said, there you go, huh? All right, Senator Solomon.
Okay, is it on? Yeah, it is. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Senator Dan Solomon, Senate District 47, last name S-A-L-O-M-O-N. Today I bring in front of you Senate Bill 260. Simply aligns Montana's Unfair Trade Practices Act with the Model Captive Insurance Code and a majority of other states have by eliminating application of an independent right of action against captive insurers and self-insured because no conflict of interest exists between the insured and the insurer. Section 2 of the bill is found in the captive insurance laws, and the changes on lines 19 and 20 are simply changes within the Captive Act to coordinate the changes that are made in the UTPA, which is the Unfair Trade Practices Act. Captives and self-insured entities are different as they are essentially the same organization as the entity being covered. A captive risk retention group is treated differently in SB 260 because a captive risk retention group is a captive that can have multiple owners covering the same risks, but because there are different owners involved in a potential for a conflict does exist. Unlike non-risk retention captive insurers or self-insurers, Mr. Chairman.
All righty, thank you. Can we get our first proponent, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Charles Robison, R-O-B-I-S-O-N, here on behalf of the Montana Chamber of Commerce. The insurance provisions of the Unfair Trade Practices Act are intended to regulate the relationship between an insurance company and the people and businesses that it insures. So when a business owns its own insurance company, that's known as a captive insurance company, or when that business self-insures, there really is not the need to regulate that relationship between the insurance company and the insured parties. So, and unlike the norm across the country, Montana expressly authorizes third-party claimants to sue self-insured businesses under the Unfair Trade Practices Act. And that provision has also been applied to captive insurers, which is what this bill addresses, both those self-insured businesses and captive insurers. Under Montana law, a business that self-insures or uses a captive insurer for claims handling can be sued for bad faith under the UTPA simply for defending itself in that liability lawsuit. And this provision of Montana's UTPA is bad for Montana businesses and harms our state's efforts to attract new businesses to the state. The model code from which Montana's UTPA derives doesn't authorize these claims in other places that it's implemented. Montana's an outlier here, and that's why we're urging you to amend our law to bar those claims under the UTPA against self-insurance and captive insurance. The operative piece of this bill is Section 1, Subsection 8, which excludes captive insurers from the law and also deletes self-insurance, also excluding self-insurance from the law, removing them from the UTPA. In order to promote more captive insurers domicile in Montana, and to bring our law more clearly in line with the purposes that it is in place for, we're urging you to pass Senate Bill 260. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can we get our next proponent?
Good
Good morning, Chairman Small, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Amy Grimalis. The last name is G-R-M-O-L-J-E-Z. And I'm a partner at the Crowley Fleck Law Firm, and I represent the Montana Captive Insurance Association. I want to thank Senator Solomon for bringing this bill. In the past, the Montana Captive Insurance Association has typically supported the Securities Office, and we've supported a bill every session to keep our laws innovative and cutting edge. The Montana Captives first licensed in 2002, and we have a very unique group in Montana. We're the fourth most domiciled in the country. So captive insurance law in Montana has been very pro-business. We want to thank the Insurance Auditor's Office for always looking forward on the laws that need to be created for the captives. So they're a unique market. So as an example, a group of truckers would decide that they want to have an associate or a captive because they have different risks for the trucking industry than the crop dusters. So we also have one where if you fly an aerial plane over crops, you might have a different kind of insurance risk than those in the medical field. So just want to give a couple examples. And we do have a website if you're interested in learning more about them. But the reason that we're supporting this bill, Mr. Chairman and members, is that we think it aligns Montana's law with the Model Act. So our Montana Unfair Trade Practices Act that the Montana Chamber supported earlier. I thought they went through the bill and did a really good job. But Section 2 of that bill at 3328207 really highlights those changes on lines 19 and 20, and they simply just change those lines within the Captive Act to coordinate those changes with the Uniform Unfair Trade Practices Act under Montana law. So I'd be happy to answer any more questions about captives, but we really appreciate the bill moving forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next proponent.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Frank Cote, C-O-T-E, representing the Commissioner of Securities Insurance. And for the reasons stated prior, we too support this bill, and we appreciate the proponents working with our office to craft the right piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any more proponents? Lauren, do we have online testimony?
No online testimony for this bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any opponents in the room? Informational witness. Do we have an informational witness in the room? Okay. Questions from the committee? No more? All right. Close on your bill.
Wow, my lucky Thursday, huh? Okay, members of the committee, you'll notice the captive insurance is a big deal in Montana and nationwide. As Ms. Grimalitz talked about, we're fourth in the nation in the number we have. This is good for them, and it will help the industry. This provision of Montana's UTPA is bad for Montana business and harms the state's effort to attract new business to the state. No other state has a similar provision, and the model code which the Montana's Unfair Trade Practice Act derives does not authorize such claims. In short, Montana is an outlier, and the law should be amended to bar claims under the UTPA against entities that use self-insurance or captive insurance. This is a good bill that will help Montana. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. That concludes the hearing on Senate Bill 260.
Great. We'll next have the opportunity to have another great bill by another fine senator, Senator Small. Mr. Chairman, would you like to open on Senate Resolution number 29?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jason Small, S-M-A-L-L, Senate District 21. Up for your consideration this morning, we have Senate Resolution number 29, which is the appointments to the Board of Realty Regulation. We have two people up today. One is William Grant from Helena, Montana, who will be appointed to a term ending January 5th of 2025. And the second one is Sharon Virgin from Great Falls, Montana, appointed to a term ending April 30th of 2025. And that will be it.
First proponent, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Hannah Slusser, that's S-L-U-S-S-E-R, here on behalf of the governor's office in support of these appointees to the Board of Realty Regulation. The Board of Realty Regulation is charged with licensing and regulating persons and businesses engaged in real estate professions and occupations. It consists of 7 members. 5 must be licensed real estate brokers, salespeople, or property managers who are actively engaged in real estate business. And there must be 2 members who are representatives of the public who are not state government officers or employees and who are not actively engaged or engaged at all in businesses as a real estate broker, salesperson, or property manager. William Grant fulfills the qualification as a public member. He is an architect in Helena. I was told by the board staff that they have trouble keeping public members because they all end up wanting to be real estate brokers. So I think William will be a good public member as he already has a good career that he wants to stick with. Sharon Virgin fulfills the qualification as a licensed real estate broker and is a full-time realtor in Great Falls. We support the confirmation of these 2 appointees. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Slusser. Are there any further proponents?
My name is William Grant. That's G-R-A-N-T. I'm a proponent for myself, I guess, for this public board position for realty. I've already gone through the training, the state training, and I'm a licensed architect, so I understand basic licensing efforts for the people of Montana, and I want to help and continue those efforts for the realty group. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Any further proponents online?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we do have one proponent online, Sharon Virgin.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Good morning. This is Sharon Virgin, V as in Victor, I-R-G-I-N. I have been licensed since 1997 and is currently a trainer for licensing here in Great Falls and helping with the new member orientation. The appointment to the Board of Realty Reg is a honor because I do feel that we need to help our members and the public protect everybody. So I am thankful for this opportunity.
Thank you, Ms. Virgin. Is there any other proponents online?
No more proponents online, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any informational witnesses? How about opponents? Well, I was just gonna skip that because are there any opponents online?
None online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any informational witnesses online?
Not online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Questions from the committee for this fine appointment? Vice Chair Curdy.
thank you, Mr. Chair, for Mr. Grant.
Mr. Grant.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, Mr. Grant, so on your resume here, it says you were the past commissioner of Missoula Historic Preservation Commission. How long ago was that?
I think it was... About 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Okay. Follow-up?
Follow-up.
I can't remember. Which project were you involved in historic preservation in Missoula?
Well, I can say that I got a job here in Helena, and I got off of the board just before there was a big sort of explosion for the historical committee over there on a big building downtown. Probably the project I was on that I remember the most was the ramp up to the Catholic Church.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? Further questions? Seeing none. Would the fine bill sponsor like to close on his bill? On his, yeah.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I close on Senate Resolution number 29.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This closes the hearing on Senate Resolution number 29. We'll now have the opportunity to hear from Senator Small. Would you like to open on Senate Resolution number 30?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jason Small. That is S-M-A-L-L from Senate District 21. This morning, we have Senate Resolution number 30, which is the governor's appointments to the Board of Real Estate Appraisers. This morning, we have four new appointees. One is Matt Dalton from Helena, Montana, and he is appointed to a term ending March 31st of 2025. We have Patty Dundas from Billings, Montana, appointed to a term ending April 30th, 2024. We have Stephen Hall, Missoula, Montana, appointed to a term ending April 30th, 2024. And we have Michael McDonald from Three Forks, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 31st, 2025. And I will sit for the proponents.
We have our first proponent to Senate Resolution number 30.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Hannah Slusser, S-L-U-S-S-E-R, here on behalf of the Governor's Office in support of these appointees. The Board of Real Estate Appraisers is charged with licensing and regulating persons and businesses engaged in real estate appraisal professions and occupations. It consists of seven members, five of which must be licensed real estate appraisers, and two must be members of the public who are not in the occupation of real estate appraisal. Matt Dalton fulfills the qualification as a real estate appraiser and is the owner of Dalton Appraisal Services here in Helena. Patty Dundas fulfills the qualification as a public member. She's currently a licensed real estate broker, which gives her much experience, tangential experience, but she still fulfills the qualification as a public member. Stephen Hall fulfills the qualification as a licensed real estate appraiser and works with Hall, Widdos & Company, which specializes in urban investment properties. Michael McDonald fulfills the qualification as a licensed real estate appraiser as well and works with Norman C. Wheeler & Associates in Bozeman. We support the confirmation of these appointees. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Slusser. Are there any further proponents? Seeing none. Is there any proponents online?
Seeing none online, Mr. Chair.
Any opponents? Any online?
None online, Mr. Chair.
About any informational witnesses online?
None online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from this very wise committee?
Mr. Chair.
I see a hand up over here. It's Vice Chair Curdy.
Mr. Chair, I guess for Ms. Slusser.
Ms. Slusser.
Slusser. So I wish we had one of the appointees here for a reason. And Mr. Chair, Nolan remembers here a couple sessions ago when we had a discussion about appraisals in Montana and the fact that there's a serious lack of appraisers, mm-hmm. and appraisals were far in arrears in terms of getting done. And so I was wondering if one of those folks was here, we could ask where we are and how we're going to deal with this, because it was definitely holding back realty exchanges in Montana, and it was a major problem. I don't know if you remember that, but I was just wondering where we were, if things have improved or what. So, but I'm sure you can't answer that question because you're just involved in pushing these nominees.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Senator, I do believe it's still a problem, and I do believe that these people applied and on the concern about this issue. So I think that they're very interested in solving this issue. I don't know exactly where we stand because this is one of hundreds of boards. And I do want to mention that all of these board members do get a phone call and a follow-up email to try and get them here at these committee meetings. I don't think it's been a standard in the past for them to show up. Some of our reappointees have been taken a bit surprised. And they've been a bit concerned about the process. Why are you asking me to come here? But, yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Lesher, I just have one question. Could you just walk us through really quick on when you, how does your office, you make the determination, you find somebody, there's a small process, and I'm just a little bit curious at how that happens, because I've never asked, Mr. Chairman, I hope that's okay, how we do that, and then what is the interview process?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the interview process depends on the size of and scope of the board. I think a lot of boards were looking for just one member. Somebody applies as a public member, whatever. We read through their resume. We do a background check, and the interview process can happen via email. It's not necessarily an in-person interview process. We have over 1,000 appointees, so that would take quite a bit of time. For bigger boards like this one, we do generally do a phone call. It just depends on the person's availability, and I'm the only person who works on these boards, so my time as well. So the lieutenant governor does help, but it's a lot to ask the lieutenant governor to help. So I will do a background check on all of these appointees before we appoint them, and they do all provide a cover letter, a statement of why they want to be on this board, and, of course, their resume and bio.
Could I ask one follow-up? Yes, I can. Thank you. regarding the background checks, there's different levels of background checks. Mm-hmm. You want to lighten this now? Well, they're probably all different because it depends on the boards, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, we don't do a criminal background check. That would cost us a lot of money through DOJ, and we don't find it necessary. These are all volunteer positions.
Right.
So what we do is we check that their license is in good standing for all of these licensing boards, and then we do a social media check and as if we would be hiring them for a job, a background check like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have one more question from another fine senator, Senator Sales.
Thank you, Chair. And Ms. Lusher, I just want to comment and maybe continue a little bit on, I'm impressed in the vast business experiences that you've gotten from these four candidates and your work, if it's mostly you. But to me, and right, seeing the ag sector, the business sector, different educations, different involvements that they are in their communities, and like we heard from Senator Curdy, you know, different properties have different values to different areas. And I think you've done a really good job in trying to write our vastness of our state to hit that. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful comment for this wonderful individual doing such hard work. Mr. Chair, would you like to close on your bill?
Were you referring to me?
Yes. Any way you want to interpret that.
All righty, thank you. I close on Senate Resolution 30.
Members, this concludes the hearing on Senate Resolution number 30. We'll now open on Senate Resolution number 38, Senator Small.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jason Small, SMALL, Senate District 21. Up for your consideration, I have Senate Resolution 38, which is the appointments to the Board of Barbers and Cosmetologists. So, first off, we have Paula Evans from Missoula, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 1st of 25. We have Angela Prince, Livingston, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 1st of 26. We have Lauren Hansen from Missoula, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 1st of 25. Brian Kirkland, Bozeman, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 1st of 27. Tucker Landerman, Kalispell, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 1st of 26. Katie Fontana from Great Falls, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 1st of 24. And Kelly Dirks from Sydney, Montana, appointed to a term ending March 1st of 25. Okay, I will let the proponent speak.
Thank you. Is the first proponent, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Hannah Slusser, S-L-U-S-S-E-R, here on behalf of the Governor's Office in support of these appointees. The mission of the Board of Barbers and Cosmetologists is to protect the health, safety, and well-being of Montana citizens through the regulation and oversight of barbering, barbering non-chemical, cosmetology, electrology, aesthetics, and manicuring. The board consists of 9 members, and the reason you are seeing all 9 members today is because last session a bill was passed that adjusted the membership on the board and then reset the board in the summer. So we had to go and reappoint all the people on this board and stagger their terms, which is why they all have different different term end dates. The bill last session added 1 licensed esthetician and dropped the number of cosmetologists from 3 to 2, dropped the number of barbers from 3 to 2 as well. And they also added some terminology about how they needed to be working in the state for at least 5 years in their fields. So the board consists of 9 members. So as it currently stands, it's 2 licensed cosmetologists, 1 licensed esthetician, 2 licensed barbers, 1 licensed manicurist, 2 members who are either licensed or not, but who are affiliated with the cosmetology schools or barbering schools, and 1 member of the public who is not licensed under Title 37, Chapter 31. So Paula Evans, most of these appointees are reappointments. They were serving previously before it was reset, except for our licensed esthetician who was just added, so she's brand new. So they all have experience serving on the board already. Paula Evans fulfills the qualification as a licensed cosmetologist. Angela Prince is also a licensed cosmetologist. Lauren Hansen is the licensed esthetician. Brian Kirkland is a licensed barber. Tucker Landerman is a licensed barber. Katie Fontana is a member of the public. And Kelly Dirks is a licensed manicurist. And we support the confirmation of all of these appointees. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Slusser. Are there any proponents online?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We do have a few of the appointees online, 2 of which have their hands raised. 2 of them weren't on my list. I noticed Tucker Landerman does not have his hand raised, so if you wish to speak, please do that.
So let's go ahead with the first one. Is that Brian?
Correct, yes. Kirkland. We'll go with Brian Kirkland.
Looks like you're muted.
Here you go.
There we are.
Hello, and thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Brian Kirkland. This will be my 5th year to serve on the Board of Barbers and Cosmetologists. My family's been barbering since 1921, beginning with my great-grandfather. I have a long working knowledge of both the history of this industry and the duties and obligations of this board. But more importantly, a government cannot function by statutes and rules alone. The people must have an ear to hear them and a compassionate heart to understand their concerns. I ask for your confirmation to be that ear and heart and continue to serve the public and professionals of the state at the governor's will and pleasure and the consent of this Congress. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next online?
Next we'll have Lauren Hansen.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Lauren Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N. I am born and raised in Missoula, Montana, where I own an aesthetics business. I've been in the industry for 12 years. I have worked on the board actually for 4 years and have loved working with our incredible state employees. I've had the opportunity of working with the Board of Nursing and the Board of Physicians on special subcommittees and representing our board for the last legislative session. I learned from my grandmother's time in the Montana legislature the importance of representation of the people. Our board is a collective of industry peers, members of the public, and state employees that work to ensure public health and safety. It is an industry that reaches into most Montana households. I feel that our board's strength is the collaborative way in which it functions. Personally, I'm incredibly grateful for the work I get to do on the board. Working to represent thousands of licensees is something I take very seriously. It is an incredible opportunity to help ensure a safe industry in my home state and support an industry that supports thousands of households. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. The next one is that Tucker Landerman.
Yes, Mr. Chair, here he is.
Hello, this is Tucker Landerman, L-A-N-D-E-R-M-A-N. I own T.O. Slick's Barbershop here in Kalispell, Montana. This will be my second year on the board. My main goal with being on the board is to help preserve barbering and its industry and to make sure that the folks coming into the state or being licensed in the state have someone to kind of look over them and protect their best interests, not only for their businesses, but for the folks that come into those businesses. And I'd like to continue to be on the board and help barbering survive, as well as the cosmetology to thrive in the state. And I appreciate your time. That should be all.
Thank you, Mr. Lenderman. Is there anybody else online that I missed?
No remaining online testimony, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any informational witnesses online?
None online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gillespie.
I guess since I didn't hear one of them claiming to be an esthetician, I better call on Ms. Lesher, enlighten me.
Mr. Chair, Senator, what is your question?
What is an esthetician? And I'm just curious.
Senator, an esthetician specializes in a lot of different beauty fields, such as like waxing, eyebrows, and whatnot. I think they also do the microderm abrasion treatments, which is the skin treatments as well. I'm not sure if the esthetician is still online, if we could ask her more details. Thank you.
I think
that's
you're good.
Fine.
He's good.
Okay. I'm happy now.
Thank you. You're a world of knowledge now. Yes. Senator Curdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is Ms. Hansen still on?
Ms. Hansen, are you there? You're muted. Thank you.
I am.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Hansen, this is Senator Curdy. I've got a question for you. You know, about, I think it was, two, three sessions ago, we changed the number of hours that a person had to complete to be a licensed cosmetologist in Montana. So how do you see that working?
Yeah, so personally, it didn't affect my license specifically. But as we're seeing, the nationwide standard is to push that our license requirements really do pertain to human health and safety. And I don't really think that it negatively impacted the industry or industry standards. I think it more so streamlined the pathway to licensure, which is really our overall goal for our licensees.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes,
follow up. Mr. Chair, Ms. Hansen, so I know you deal with a lot of chemicals. As an esthetician. So Do you think the curriculum that we see folks coming out of cosmetology school is keeping up with changes in potential use of chemicals that are used in waxing and other, let's say, hair care products?
I do. All of our schools really do work quite hard to stay on top of current industry standards. They work closely with NIC, which is the board that we work for standardized testing to keep up, again, with industry standards, as our goals are to try to be as concurrent with other states as we can to make pathway to licensure in Montana easy. And it really does create this really nice level that all the schools, they stay very current. They work really hard every year to revise what they need to make sure that they're properly educating their students on what to and not to do once they leave the school setting.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hansen, appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? I have one for Ms. Brian Kirtland, are you still on?
I am.
Thank you. So you made the comment that you have the privilege of serving on this. This will be your fifth year on the board. And I was just wondering, since you've been there a little while, what questions or what concerns or what issues have you seen that you had to address?
I would say it seems like every legislative year we need to address deregulation. Seems to come up quite a bit. The purpose for the board, and you know, over the past 100 years, we've passed rules to safeguard the public against health concerns and things for commerce. And the deregulation, it's pretty much just a lack of information. And so being able to tell them the reason why the laws and statutes are in place, what the cause was in the beginning, seems to help mitigate against some of the deregulation or consolidation of boards, which, you know, like the medical board, for example, there was a bill last legislative session to try to consolidate our board into the medical board, which is already already super busy and overworked. So just to provide a perspective of why the laws are in place that we have passed over the past 100 years and have that little bit of history for the reason why we do the things we do.
Thank you very much. Senator Sales.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Brian, Chair, this would be for Mr. Kirtland. This is
Mr. Kirtland.
Senator Sales.
Senator Sales, go ahead.
Yep. Thank you. Ms. Kirtland, on that note, I guess, especially right with your vast family history, I guess these regulations at times we do hear, right, that they maybe would put an undue burden. So could you maybe just share a little more on how you've seen and why these have been put on your industry? And then you've pretty well talked a little bit of, I believe you see value in helping your industry, but we've heard just the opposite at times. Can you elaborate?
Yes, I can. And I apologize for any background noise. I'm actually in the barbershop. We have it going live and the customers are here participating in this hearing.
Watch the man you're shaving on.
He's letting me take a quick break. For example, sanitation standards in the past, when I first started, we had to have formaldehyde shake canisters in every drawer when I began barbering. And that was, you know, we have annual inspections of every shop across the state, surprise inspections, to make sure that our standards are kept up and the public is kept safe. And for example, those formaldehyde shake canisters, that would sterilize everything in your drawers. It also turns out that they're super harmful and full of carcinogens and will give you cancer. So keeping up on that and adapting to those health standards as they change also is important.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions from the committee, Senator Small, would you like to close on your Senate resolution.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the robust hearing. We really nailed some stuff down there. And I close on Senate Resolution Number 38. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes the hearing on Senate Resolution Number 38. We'll now open on Senate Resolution Number 40, Senator Small.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jason Small, S-M-A-L-L, Senate District 21. And up for your consideration, I have Senate Resolution Number 40, which is the appointments to the Board of Plumbers. We have one person up for appointment today. That is Carl Carlson from Billings, Montana. And he is appointed to a term ending May 1st of 2023. And with that being said, I will let the proponent go.
Our first proponent, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Hannah Slusser, S-L-U-S-S-E-R, here on behalf of the Governor's Office in support of this appointee. The Board of Plumbers is charged with licensing and regulating persons and businesses engaged in plumbing professions and occupations. It consists of 9 members, 2 master plumbers, 2 journeyman plumbers, 1 registered professional engineer qualified in mechanical engineering, 3 representatives of the public who are not engaged in the business of installing or selling plumbing equipment, and 1 representative of the Department of Environmental Quality who must have experience in regulation of drinking water systems. Mr. Carl Carlson is our representative from the Department of Environmental Quality. He is a licensed sanitarian and a certified water and wastewater and water distribution system operator. He's based out of Billings. He was going to try and make it today, but he's also proctoring a test right now in Miles City, so I'm not sure if he is able to attend, but we support his confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Slusher. Are there any proponents online?
No online testimony for this bill or this resolution, Mr. Chair.
Are there any opponents online?
None online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any informational witnesses? Online?
None online, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Sales.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, go ahead, Senator Gillespie.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, Mr. Chair. Yeah, Ms. Slusher.
Ms. Slusher.
The May 1st, 2023. He's going to have to act fast to get in under the line.
Mr. Chair, Senator, he is actually filling a term that was vacated. So the board member, when they're appointed, they don't start a new full term. They actually fill the remaining term of the person who vacated the board. So he'll be back next session if he wants to continue serving. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Sales, did you... That was your question. Any further questions? I don't know who would want to answer my question. I might have to ask the sponsor, but we'll think. Could you explain in detail how all these... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Since there's no further questions from the committee, Senator Small, would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I close on Senate Resolution Number 40. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This concludes the hearing on Senate Resolution Number 40.
You guys want to do EA today or wait till Friday? I've been telling everybody we'd wait till Friday, so. But we have free time here. Oh, you didn't? Okay. Never mind. We don't have them. Yeah, let's move those. Okay.
I don't know about Solomon's bill, but you know, the other ones we could. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
I got no issue with that one either. As a matter of fact, why don't we do 260 also? Solomon's?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you want to do first?
Let's do the Senate bill first, and then we'll just do them in order. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Senate Business and Labor will now move to executive action. It is 9:12.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill number 260 do pass, Mr. Chairman.
All right, the motion has been made. Senate Bill 260 do pass. Do we have any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, that is the bill that we just heard, and there were no questions from the committees. I think it's a good bill and needed bill. I understood it. I think we all did. The industries that came or departments came in and the different proponents enlightened us, I thought, pretty well, the need for this. So I hope we can support it.
Okay, thank you, Senator Curdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I guess I was late with on the gun here today because I was going to ask a question on how things have changed in the captive insurance area. I know it seems like every session we deal with one facet of captive insurance. And it's an area that I think is really hard to understand by a lot of folks, because people just don't understand, you know, how businesses literally get together or individuals get together, create their own self-insurance company. But anyway, I was just questioning why the model has changed, and I didn't get that chance, but that's fine with me. Montana's, as you heard in the testimony, has been a leader in providing captive insurance, and it brings a lot of money to the state. And so I'm good to go on this bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any more discussion? Seeing no more discussion, we will vote on Senate Bill 260, do pass. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Senator Pope votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chairman, President Ellsworth, aye by proxy, and Senator Fitzpatrick, aye by proxy.
Okay, Senate Bill 60 passes.
Mr. Chairman, I move.
Do concur.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we do concur with Senate Resolution number 29.
Thank you. The motion has been made to do concur on Senate Resolution number 29, which is the Board of Realty. Do we have discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. All in favor of do concur on Senate Resolution 29, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Senator Pope votes aye by proxy.
Senator Fitzpatrick and President Ellsworth, aye by proxy, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Senate Resolution 29 has been concurred.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Resolution number 30 be concurred, and that is the Board of Real Estate Appraisers.
The motion has been made. Do concur on Senate Resolution 30. Do we have discussion? Senator Curdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I wish, again, one of the appraisers applicants would have been here. It's been a really source of issue with getting this work done because the lack of appraisers and trying to find a way to get more appraisers into the program has been a long time issue. But that aside, unless there are other questions, comments, I call for the question.
Question has been called.
I just wanted to comment that I could retire from this and go back to being an appraiser, Mr. Chairman, but maybe I won't.
Well taken. Okay. Question has been called. And the motion has been made. Do pass on Senate, or do concur on Senate Resolution 30. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Senator Pope votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chairman, President Ellsworth, and Senator Fitzpatrick, aye by proxy.
Senate Resolution 30 be concurred in.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Resolution number 40 be concurred in as the Board of Plumbers.
Okay, the motion has been made to be concurred in Senate Resolution 40, the Board of Plumbers. Do we have discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. We will do a voice vote. All in favor of due concurrence of Senate Resolution 40, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Senator Pope votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chairman, President Ellsworth, aye by proxy, and Senator Fitzpatrick, aye by proxy.
All right. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Resolution number 38 due pass, and that is the do concur, thank you, and that is the Board of Barbers and Cosmetologists.
Thank you. The Senate Resolution 38 has been moved, do concur. Do we have discussion? Question has been called. All in favor of Senate Resolution 38, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Senator Pope votes aye by proxy.
Mr. Chair, President Ellsworth, and Senator Fitzpatrick.
Excellent. Motion carries. All right. Thank you, committee, for hammering through the day here. It was quite wonderful. And we will be closing out on executive action. And just remember, we'll be here 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning for more excitement and more pleasure. Thank you.